You're at KAKC while a student, you graduate from TU, then and tried the master's. So then did you become full-time then at KAKC?
Oh, I've been full-time since I joined the All Right Show.
Okay.
In other words, what happened when I went to the, when I was doing the All Right Show, all I did was the 6 hours overnight, but I had to have a clean shave and a shirt and tie and a jacket with me, because maybe when I got there at 6, there'd be a mobile news story to cover, and nobody goes out in the KAKC Newsmobile without a jacket and tie. And so I was working basically a 40-hour week then, and then when I moved up to the 9 to midnight, I was doing 5 to midnight news and a Sunday 6 a.m. to noon show. Then there was a time, John. Now think about this for a guy going full-time, not the sturdiest specimen, you know, in the species anyway. And when we lost not one but two people, I was for about 12 weeks working 6 a.m. to noon, Saturday and Sunday, while also working my midnight to 6, Monday through Friday.
Okay, two things here. KAKC, I believe, really became known to Tulsa because in addition to your music, you were on the spot news coverage and nobody was doing that. Is that true?
When I first started listening, in fact, the only reason I would listen to KAKC was because if I'd hear a siren, I'd hit it over to KAKC because I knew I was going to find out what it was.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more about it than I wanted to know. Because at the time, KOME was running a top 40 that, from my limited listening, I thought the KOME sound was much better, much easier for me to listen to, but they didn't have the news in KAKC. I mean, they, Clayton Bond, Bud Curry, Will Jones, Don Kelly, and Harry Wilson, they blanketed that town, John. I mean, it was what you guys on KRMG later learned to do all the time and with everything, and not just fender benders and murders and fires. But when I got to Tulsa, in fact, they had the award, and I don't know how bogus it was or how true, but the number one news station in the nation. And that's how they started every newscast.
KRMG did?
No, that's how KAKC. KRMG at the time was CBS. Right. They had Marvin McCullough with a country show in the morning. Then they had a guy named Lynn Higbee, who had, to my ear, the finest voice that's ever been on Tulsa radio. They had him doing mornings. They had, I think they carried Arthur Godfrey for a while. They had CBS. They ran the whole CBS lineup.
Mm-hmm.
On weekends, they would run the, the symphony show, Texaco Symphony or whatever. And on Sunday nights, they would run another symphony show. But then at noon every day, they would have Marvin McCullough come back, and with a studio audience, they would do one of the wildest country music live programs you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And their news was good, but it was not... It was excellent news. It was very good, real news, not sensational stuff like KAKC was doing. But its time hadn't quite come. It
right.
was about 5 years down the road before it kicked off, and then when it did, it was basically all over. It was KRMG just really took the news thing over.
Right. Okay. So, and then Clayton Vaughn, you said news and on the spot news. So, how did you start stomaching rock and roll? You said earlier that you didn't like it. So, did you begin to like it?
It wasn't that I didn't like it, John. It was just that because my friends wouldn't listen to me because of it, I couldn't admit to it. But I, in addition to my Stan Kenton and my Ella Fitzgerald, I did have some pretty good Elvis Fitzgerald and some Clyde McFadder and the Drifters and all that. So once I started playing it, and then I started hearing some of the other stuff and some of the Tulsa stuff that was starting to come out then, I said, well, you know, maybe this rock and roll is not so bad. And out of this day, if you got in my car and punched one of my, what I call trail mixes, you might go from a Stan Kenton to a blues singer Joe Tex, mm-hmm. to June Christie, and then into four or five George Strait country songs. I mean, anymore, my taste is so eclectic that I call it all over the ditch.
Okay, but who were you playing when you were on KAKC? Because you were given a playlist and you had to play from that. So what were the names? Who were you playing? And we should say, we're talking about beginning of the early 60s in there, in the 60s, that decade?
I joined KAKC on September 19th, 1959.
Okay.
And we would be playing Chuck Berry. Put an asterisk by Chuck Berry and remind me to come back to the name. Mm-hmm. We'd be playing Chuck Berry, be playing Theme from a Summer Place by Percy Faith.
Oh.
Be playing Love Me Tender by Elvis, along with Jailhouse Rock by Elvis. We'd be playing Baby What You Want Me to Do by Jimmy Reed, the Houston blues singer. We'd play, remember when the war protest songs came out and the DJ from Canada put out the song I Do Not Have, or the record I Do Not Have a Son?
Right.
We were playing that. I mean, we played everything. Top 40 was just, you know, you look at it, and I look at it now and I go, how did we ever manage to mix that? You would hear stations go from Elvis Presley into Joe Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
You Belong to Me. I don't know. I look back at it now and I go, it's kind of like most of the rest of my life. It doesn't make any sense, but for some reason, thank you God for this. It did work at the time.
Right. Well, the audience was learning, too, about music, and they were beginning to learn like you and learn about and Elvis Presley, you know, and everybody was conflicted. And so it probably wasn't just you. It was your audience was growing with you. But then eventually you had to be top 40 rock and roll, I would imagine.
Well, by the time I finally left there, We would play an Elton John, This Is Your Song.
Yeah.
Then we'd play a Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love. Then we'd play a Paul Anka, Your Heaven, My Baby. And it was, again, just all over the road, but it was all songs that were selling or getting a lot of jukebox play, a lot of requests.
Absolutely. Plus,
I don't know when, because I had gotten all over into country music by the time pop radio became so segmented that it's no longer broadcasting. Everybody calls it niche broadcasting anymore that does it, and I don't know any of us who did it that will even listen to it anymore.
Right. You told me to put an asterisk by Chuck Berry. Why?
Okay. Growing up, I listened to a lot of different stations, and one of my favorite ones from close to home was KLRA out of Little Rock. Unfortunately, at night, they went on a real lower power and directed beam signal so that I could barely hear them. Well, I had a little jack in the back of my four-tube Arvin table model radio so I could put the earphones on so that if it was really bad, I could try to dig it out. Cliff Ford did the 7 to Midnight show on KLRA, and he would play all over, and he didn't have a format. He might play some Stan Kenton. He might play a blues band like Jay McChann out of Kansas City and all this. And then he would play three or four June Christies. He'd play Something Cool by June Christie, and then he'd play something by Ella. So this one night, John, I keep hearing him say, I was in St. Louis over the weekend, and I heard something. I can't decide if it's the best thing I've ever seen or the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm going to play it for you later. And he kept teasing this. And I mean, the static was god-awful, and it was getting to be 9:30 or 10, and I needed to get to sleep. And I was determined I was going to stay up and hear that. And finally, about 10:30, he said, okay, I've been telling you about this all night long. It's time if I play it. I was in St. Louis. I went to a concert, and I saw this guy, and I brought back this record. And you tell me, is this the best thing I've ever played you or the worst? And he played Maybelline. And the hook was in on Rock and Roll for me.
Yeah.
I even started admitting to my friends. I said, kids, I'm going to admit to you, I do love some rock and roll, and if you don't listen to this one, you're missing the best you've ever heard.
Mm.